sir.
Thank you. We'll call this meeting to order. It's the Oceana Community Services District. It is 6:33 p.m., Wednesday, April 24th, 2013. Carol Ann, can I get a roll call?
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director White.
Looks like we have four members present. That is the necessary quorum. The next item will be the flag salute, if you rise with me.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number five, it's public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. We passed over agenda item number four, which is the agenda review. But there are going to be some changes. The first would be 7CA, which is the Elizabeth Ray. It was on the consent agenda. Ms. Ray requested to be heard, so that will be put on the business items, which would be moved under 10G. And that, again, is 7CA. Also, I think we were going to take item 10D1, which is the consider appointing Jocelyn Hodson as interim general manager, off or table that at this time. Are there any other, Molly? Molly advises we're going to take off 12B.
And I wanted to know if 10E was time sensitive.
10E is not time sensitive. That's the fire department roll-up door, but I did speak with Chief Aranez this afternoon, and he advised that he was going to come and address the discussions that have been had regarding that, if we wanted to still.
Okay, because we have a lot of discussions, and so yes. I was thinking, in order to be fair, you know. Okay.
And so I don't mind either way. Does the rest of the board, how do you feel about the discussion about the fire department door? Do you want to take that off or leave that on? Okay, why don't we table that to the next meeting, Carolyn? We'll, our next meeting is that May 8th?
Yes.
All right. We'll have that on May 8th.
And Carolyn, can you make sure those tabled items are brought back to our attention so we make sure they get back on?
Right.
Thank you.
Molly, do we need to announce a special meeting at this time? Or?
Want to get it on the agenda, whatever time you guys want to do it, you need 24 hours. So if you're
going
to do it at 6:37, you better do it now.
Okay. Well, we'll announce a special meeting for tomorrow at 6:45. That'll be clean. What would the title of that be, Molly?
Conference of Legal Counsel. Anticipating litigation. Discussion of possible action on settlement. To section
54956.9. Okay. Can you speak in the microphone too, Molly, when you...
I'll give you the exact subsection
okay.
In just a moment.
Let's roll. The next item on the agenda is a special presentation by Jeff Lee and...
Public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. The next item... I'm moving too fast here. The next item on the agenda is public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? I see people standing up. April McLaughlin, why don't you come on up first? Good evening, ma'am.
Hi there. My name's April McLaughlin, and I live in San Francisco County, AG in particular. And I just wanted to address very quickly that Andrea Bernier wanted to be here tonight, mm-hmm. especially for your report, but she was in an auto accident earlier today, so okay. She would have been here. She's okay. She just needed to get checked out, mm-hmm. and hopefully she'll get a report and get an idea of what, you know, transpired. That's all.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Ms. Tacker stood up first. Ms. Tacker? Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I just want to take a really big, deep breath with you.
Thanks.
I think you've been through a very tumultuous 10 days or so, and I welcome the change. It appears that the South County is making a big change with the changes at the Sanitation District. I'm so encouraged. I hope that all of you are following along, your public is following along. The changes down there are for the better. I hope that you share the letter that the Regional Board sent to the Sanitation District with your board, with the public. That's almost worthy of a press release. All good things are happening at the Sanitation District. And with the recent events here at Oceano Community Services District, I am encouraged and look forward to good change for Oceano, and I am very hopeful that I can help you. So simply that, I did want to speak just to the changes on the agenda. Mm-hmm. You have the Finance Committee for the April 19th, and that was a personnel committee, and I didn't see minutes attached, so I don't think you can approve anything on that in that regard. And then maybe when you close the meeting, you can further announce the special meeting for the closed session that was just discussed and get some better clarification on that. So that's all for now, but again, I am encouraged for Oceano.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public
Thank
comment?
You.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Betty Carey. I'm a resident of Oceano. And I just want to take a couple of moments to speak on behalf of Tom Gieslin and his firing. Tom has, and this is my opinion, Tom has served this board very well. He has served the community very well during his tenure or his time as general manager. And I would ask the board, before you go to the time, effort, and expense of hiring a new general manager, replacing Tom, I ask that you continue discussions and see if there isn't some way that can be worked out to keep Tom as general manager. Again, as I said, he's done well for the community. The community needs him. And I just hope that you can see your way into furthering discussions and mediations, whatever it might take, to try and get Tom back. And I would appreciate that as a citizen of Oceano. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carey. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Hearing no further public comment, I'm going to actually go down my list and try to go by numbers here. The next item was the special presentation. This is Jeff Lee and Jeff Edwards. Mr. Lee is the is an engineer at the County of San Luis Obispo Public Works Utility Division. And Mr. Edwards, I think most people know him. He's a concerned activist. And they're going to talk about the Oceano Drainage Project at Highway 1 and 13th Street. The reason this was brought in, this was scheduled a few weeks back because this is the project that's just right down here at the road from us. The OCSD is not responsible for this project. We're not taking any position, but this is something that affects our community, and so there's been some discussion of it. And Mr. Gieslin had invited these two to come and present to the community regarding this particular project. And so I was also advised that Mr. Lee had been advised by district.
So the agenda has been amended again.
That's correct. Okay, we'll get there. Hang on, let's let Mr. Lee go. And Carol Ann, if you could set for 10 minutes.
Got it.
And without any further ado.
Thank you, President Guerrero and members of the board. My name is Jeff Lee. I'm a resident of Grover Beach. Tonight, I'm serving the County of Public Works Department as the project engineer and project manager for the Oceano Drainage Project, as you mentioned, at Highway 1 and 13th Street. So there are copies of a project update, which I believe I gave to each of the board members. There's also copies for the public in the back if people are interested. As you mentioned, County Public Works has been leading a project at this location, and County Planning has been processing a development plan and coastal development permit through the County Planning Commission under application number DRC 2012-00044. On March 14th, the Planning Commission approved a coastal development permit and corresponding mitigated neg deck for that project. The project has been appealed to the Board of Supervisors with a hearing scheduled for June 4th of this year. And again, with that appeal in mind, I've been advised not to answer direct questions from the public. I can answer project-related questions, and we'll kind of toe that line where we need to. So with regards to the project, so as you're all familiar, the yellow circle is the intersection of Highway 1 and 13th Street, which has experienced flooding historically throughout the years, and it was first identified, well, not first identified, but it's had periodic flooding since the inception of the community in the 19th century. In the RMC 2004 Oceano Drainage and Flood Control Study, that notes that some of the most serious flooding in Oceano takes place along Highway 1, with one of the main locations being the intersection of Highway 1 and 13th Street. So, as you're probably no doubt aware, this is generally caused by relatively flat topography and a lack of capacity in the drainage facilities to convey runoff south towards the Arroyo Grande Creek. Now, for a point of reference, Arroyo Grande Creek is right here. So, in an effort to address flooding at Highway 1 and 13th Street, the county, along with cooperation and funding support from Caltrans, SLOCOG, CDBG block grants, and the FAA, has brought forth a project to direct stormwaters away from the intersection through a series of pipes and into a drainage basin located on county airport property. So that's going to be more specifically shown here. So the yellow lines is the pipe system, the underground pipe system. This area here is the detention basin or the sediment basin that is part of the project. The blue outline area is the approximately 40 acres that directs stormwater towards the Highway 1 and 13th Street intersection. So implementation of the project will address, obviously, a known drainage issue on Highway 1 in order to contribute to a safer, healthier, and more livable community by providing passage along Highway 1 during storm events. So with the current project schedule, construction is anticipated to start in early of 2015. However, with a 40-acre drainage shed and a 10-year event, which flows approximately 45 CFS towards that intersection, a number of resource and regulatory agencies are going to be involved in permitting of this project. And those agencies include Caltrans, SLOCOG, the Railroad, FAA, the California Coastal Commission, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, California Department of Fish and Wildlife, your OCSD board with regards to water service, the SLO County Sanitation District regards to sewer. So pretty much anybody involved in that intersection will have some say on this project. So the county has several funding sources, either through SLOCOG, through CDBG block grants, an FAA grant for some activity on the airport located here. And there is, as noted in the report, a current shortfall. On March 5th, the County Board of Supervisors did authorize an additional CDBG block grant to close that project shortfall. However, there was a caveat to review this project funding along with other project funding as well. And if, in the event that CDBG block grant is not funded, then we'll pursue other sources of funding to close that project gap. So, again, going back to the project with regards to the underground storage pipes and the drainage area, the elements of work that are going to be done within the county and the state right away will be the inclusion of new stormwater infiltrators to take the first flush and some pollutants that come down Highway 1 and 13th Street, put those into an infiltrator system, and get that back into the groundwater. And then a series of drain inlets and storm drain pipes will be constructed on Highway 1, on 13th Street, Paso Robles Street, and then through Railroad Street and Dolphin Avenue down to meters that are currently accepting groundwater and putting that back into the groundwater system. With that being said, the two yellow dots here are the infiltrators that are proposed to be part of the system installed as part of this project. And additionally, in each of the drain inlets, a fossil filter type of insert will be installed that will allow for additional pollutants to be removed and also to collect debris and sediment from that stormwater. So, and county road crews currently maintain the existing system, and we are in discussions with Caltrans for the county to maintain this portion of the current system as well through the use of vector trucks and so forth. So it'll be on a recurring maintenance schedule for that to occur. In order to construct the improvements, there are going to be a group of four eucalyptus trees. This is Highway 1 right here. You all know the eucalyptus groves. Those four trees are proposed for removal, and they will be replaced with species down at the Oceano Park in a 4-to-1 replacement capacity. Now, we have done a series of reports at this location and throughout the project site for archaeological surveys, a phase one report for hazardous materials and other cultural resources, as well as monarch butterflies and other botanical surveys. There were no monarch butterflies found in their overwintering period when we looked in 2010 and 2012 as part of that. And then also conditions of approval for the project include pre-construction survey requirements and other mitigation requirements if any animals or flora, fauna elements are found. So going back to this property, to this slide here, the blue now represents the underground storm drain pipe, which is being designed to accommodate a 10-year storm to remove water off of the intersection. The yellow highlighted areas, this area here and then this area here, are private property concerns that could be impacted by the property. So this area up here is the Povey parking lot, and then this area back over here is either railroad property and or Phelan and Taylor property. And then this area here is private property owned by Pismo Coast Village, which is currently used as RV storage. That area is going to be regraded to direct water over into the drainage basin, which is underneath this diagonal hatched area, which is actually county airport property. Again, both of those areas will be graded to direct water towards the basin and then also to provide additional storage should the drainage basin overflow. And speaking of the sedimentation basin, this is the end of our system before it discharges into Rio Grande Creek. This is approximately a 50 by 500 foot long concrete basin with approximately 3.5 feet deep. And again, it is sized to handle and store the 10-year stormwater event as we direct waters away from the Highway 1 and 13th Street intersection. So there's been some discussion and some concerns as to how water is going to get out of this basin. This being the upstream area, Highway 31 being over here. Has that been 10 minutes already?
It has.
It has? Wow. Okay.
Do you want to add a couple minutes?
If I could.
I'll let you finish up.
Great. So what we're going to have here is a three-stage outfall from this basin into Rio Grande Creek, where the project will drain. There's a small 6-inch diameter pipe there, which will take nuisance water and drain the basin, which has a requirement to be drained completely dry 48 hours after a storm event because of its proximity to the airport and FAA rules and regulations. Next is that once that is overwhelmed by or underwater in AG Creek, the willow riparian area is then utilized as storage along with the basin. There's an existing 36-inch pipe that drains that area, and then as water in AG Creek continues to rise, this flap gate here is our high flow outfall. So there is three levels of outfall to make sure that the water continues to move through the system and stays off of the Highway 1 and 13th Street. So here's just a slide to remember of what we've experienced in 2010. And it should be noted that while minor maintenance has been done throughout the system, there have been no significant infrastructure improvements at this intersection. And so until we install some permanent solution like this project, we can anticipate that that there will be flooding that will occur at this intersection. One of the issues is that the water from Caltrans goes in onto private property commission as well. The blue area is the coastal appealable zone, and this pink line is the original jurisdictional boundary of the Coastal Commission. There is a small portion of the project that is in original jurisdiction, so with or without an appeal of a board decision, we will be going to the Coastal Commission for a consistency determination. And with that, I'll end with any questions with one last caveat of I know the County Planning Department and the community of Oceano are working on their complete community, of which this intersection does have some potential upgrades to be done there. We are in trying to incorporate as much into this project currently that won't get changed as part of the community, the complete community project. So with that, I'll answer any questions that I can.
I don't have any questions. I'd like to hear Mr. Edwards.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Yes. On the grading that you talked about specifically on the peripheral of Pismo Coast Village and the airport, can you be more specific when you say grading? What exactly are you going to be doing there?
Sure. Okay. Actually, let me go to a different slide. So this area is looking towards the Pismo Coast property through the airport property. And what we can anticipate there is currently the ground elevation is 18 to 18 and a half. We're going to increase that by approximately a foot to a maximum elevation of 20. So, but we're going to be adding approximately a foot of material over this area, so that we can get the basin high enough to accept the waters and allow positive drainage from this site to get into the basin, so that there's not standing water on the airport for more than 48 hours. It is about 12 acres of disturbed land for grading. It does end up being I think it's about 12,500 cubic yards of material.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you.
Director Lucy.
Hey Jeff, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
There's just a couple things that I have is that I'm a little nervous about putting more water into the AG Creek because the lack of maintenance through there, and I know that the county really tries very hard in a verbal way to maintain it, but it's simply just not happening. I go down there and monitor the beaver dams, and it's gotten to the point where there's a couple dams down there that have dammed the entire creek, and fortunately, there was no rain this year. But so you're putting more water into a waterway that's not managed right now, which then it's going to affect the people in the island, right? And so, and then also, too, is that in looking at historical maps and stuff, the little lagoon over here used to, people used to, have their little motorboats out there and stuff, but it's so full of sediment that it's only good for the ducks at this point, And so I'm afraid of sending Highway 1's sediment, debris, Mars candy bar wrappers all into that lagoon, which is already does not smell the best, because we're kind of blocked by the fear of the Coastal Commission to go in there and clean it. And I see that your project has elegantly danced around the Coastal Commission quite well, I think. But the problem is that the way the water is being directed is, I'm a little nervous about that.
And I would try to waylay those fears.
Okay, so that would be one. And then secondly is that, with the beavers and the natural habitat blocking up that creek, that sandbar that as it down on the beach, right, is stopping it from going through. And so I don't know if you've ever been down there during the winter years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that sandbar, everybody sits there and waits for it to break, you know. And a lot of times it doesn't break. And so the strands are at risk, mm-hmm. you know. So you got to talk me through it a little bit more to assure that the health of the lagoon isn't going to get worse. I don't like the tree idea. If you'd come and said, hey, you know what, we're going to maintain the trees and clean them up, and we'll get the same value out of versus removing them, I just kind of think that's it.
The eucalyptus trees?
Not, yeah. Okay. I don't care what kind of trees they are. They're
right.
usually home to something.
Right.
You know. So, yeah, you know, I think those eucalyptus trees, you know, that grove over there could be paid attention to and cleaned up and be a really nice little walking park. But it's, you know, with the removal of the trees, that's being eliminated. So then also, too, is talk to me. I know that these are a lot of questions at you. But at this point, the leech pond over in Poby doesn't work. We all see the green on the top of the pond, and in the summertime, that pond is not going down.
We have included that. So
okay,
notwithstanding, we've programmed a year for it. If they take longer than that, then obviously we'll be back to update you on that.
All right.
And let's make sure I connect all the dots here with the question.
So the tree, the lagoon.
And I'll address
and
the
maintenance of the sandbar.
Okay. And I'll address the lagoon and the sandbar first.
Okay.
And I think what may be productive there is for a future presentation on some other projects that are happening in Oceano. If you get a chance to watch the County Board of Supervisors yesterday's meeting, there was an update on the Arroyo Grande Creek maintenance project, and which may address some of your concerns there. That project is also slated to start construction in 2015 because we have a series of regulatory issues to address with that as well. We're just kicking off the NEPA process with that, which could take approximately a year, which will extend things out to the 2015 time. But to specifically address your question with regards to the water within Arroyo Grande Creek, currently, this being Highway 1 and 13th Street, the water goes through Povey Pond, which is on private property, so legally the county can't maintain that. I have had discussions with Dan Sutton of Povey about potentially doing something with that, and so those discussions are still ongoing. But currently, that water goes from here down through the behind the airport, gets into the lagoon, and then goes through the flap gates. So as we take some of that water and collect it down here and then drain it into Arroyo Grande Creek, the water is going to get into the creek, even though it's naturally and historically it's always gone into AG Creek. We're going to be putting it into the creek slightly upstream of that. So we are going to have some additional flushing activity potentially for the sandbar to break sooner because of the waters. And as we've modeled this creek run, there is sufficient capacity downstream of our project to accommodate this additional flow.
Okay.
But I think in terms of updates on the other projects, it's probably going to be a different presentation. So because there is a number of other projects, and each of those are progressing along their own time frame with their own CEQA documents and NEPA documents. So perhaps we can agendize that for future. I think last question was the eucalyptus trees.
Yeah.
With some of the grading activity that is going to occur at Highway 1 and at that intersection where that swale is, if we keep the trees, there is a high possibility that the root systems will be impacted, and they may pass away or may die in other factors. We have talked with Caltrans with regards to that. They aren't maintaining them. The county's not maintaining them because they are technically on railroad property, and so that kind of confuses the whole maintenance of those eucalyptus trees as well. So removal of those trees would be subject to a railroad permit. So and if we aren't successful with that, then the trees may stay. But at this point, we are proposing for them to be removed and replaced with 4-to-1. Replacement over at Oceano Park.
Doing what?
We're not going to put eucalyptus trees over in Oceano Park, but we are proposing to replace those four trees with 16 trees over at Oceano Park.
Is there any other questions for Mr. Lee?
Okay.
I don't have any questions, but I do have concerns of the water dumping into the creek area there because it's so overgrown. And when we had the flooding issue, there was no place for the water to go because of all the growth in the lagoon area and down the creek itself. And stuffing more water down it may create even more problems. I think that, you know, personally, I think we need to work with the Coastal Commission to try to clean that somewhat, other than just cutting the tops of the willows off. That's just a waste of time, basically. But that concerns me because that's going to be more water flow, and that is going to end up right down there where the people live down in the center. And, you know, there's no reason it should be as bad as it is. It just hasn't been taken care of over the years. And it's been complained about, just that nothing ever gets done. It's different organizations and stuff, but I don't know.
And if I can respond to that just real briefly, with my County Public Works hat on, I would highly be supportive of a letter of support or concern to either the Coastal Commission or just to Public Works, and we can include that as we're moving forward. Obviously, as I mentioned, the regional board is going to be involved in Arroyo Grande Creek cleanup, U.S. Fish and Game, now Fish and Wildlife, California Fish and Wildlife, Coastal Commission. So there's a series of players that are going to be associated with that as well. So any support we can have from the public and OCSD as a whole would be much appreciated.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Edwards? Yeah. It did go a few minutes over, so if you need the extra time.
I sent it over electronically, and I'd like to offer a copy of that letter for the record. In considering the project, I'd hope that your board does weigh in on this relative to the Board of Supervisors hearing on June 4th. It's an expensive project. It's $2.7 million is the current projected cost. And in my view, that's an expensive Band-Aid in a consideration of the totality of the problem. I believe Oceano deserves better and that there is a more wise use of the funding. As you know, the December 18th, 19th storm event of 2010 was the trigger for recent drainage and flood control efforts in the community by the county. The cause of the December 19th, 2010 flooding, which, as you know, affected the island predominantly as well as the sanitation district, was precipitated by, in my view, two key points, and that is, one is the flapgates right here, and unfortunately, as many of you know, Harold Guyton operated these flapgates. He knew them intimately. And unfortunately, on that December day in 2010, these flapgates were not opened on a timely basis. And what in effect happened is that the whole lagoon system started backing up. The other key consideration in that 2010 flood was runoff from the airport that really literally came rushing off the airport on a low-lie place and was complicit in the swamping of the sand district. So it's these events that triggered the larger question, what do we do about this problem? And I'd like you to note that Arroyo Grande Creek overtopping was not part of the problem in 2010. Now, what was complicit largely was the Meadow Creek watershed. And the Meadow Creek watershed is very large. As you can see, there's an upper area up here, which is about 3,700 acres, and then the lower watershed is about 2,600 acres. And for some of you know the history, Pismo Creek used to, until 1911 when it blew out to the ocean, Pismo Creek used to come down and join Arroyo Grande Creek in a confluence at what is now Arroyo Grande Creek mouth. This is, as I mentioned, a very large watershed. The whole watershed is about 6,000 acres. And the current project, the Highway 1 and 13th Street project, is shown in this little pink area. This is an approximate location. As you heard, it's 40 acres. Well, that represents less than 1% of the Meadow Creek watershed. And in my view, is really a project that doesn't look at the global issue and look at the entire watershed. The project area is equivalent of about 10 to 12 city blocks. And unfortunately, it doesn't even pick up the Taylor Pond that's down at 17th and 19th Street on Highway 1. That water's not going to go into this project. The county, I'm a little unclear about the intentions of the County Public Works Department. This is a slide from a presentation they made in 2011. And one of the first items that they were supposed to do was prepare a hydraulic analysis of the Meadow Creek watershed. And to date, that has not been done. And I think that's one of the first things that needs to be accomplished before one can really take a comprehensive look at solutions for the problem. Items that are talked about, well, here's your Highway 1 and 13th Street project right here. At the time, they were considering various alternatives. But none of those really have evolved very, very much. And if you remember that the Highway 1 and 13th Street project is designed for a 10-year storm event, well, the 2010 flood was about a 10-year storm event, so there's some question whether this project's going to have much of a benefit in even a small storm event like we had in 2010. Also, I talked about the drainage plan that would be derived from the hydraulic analysis. We're still waiting for that. The county has offered up some other options. We've heard about Meadow Creek barrier removal. I believe this is also known as reed management. We know that project had limited value this past winter. There's pumping options. There was consideration of a pipe and pump at Juanita Avenue. That has been abandoned as an option. If the waterway management plan is expanded to include the railroad bridge at 22nd Street, it could balloon to over $18 million. That's a lot of money, and maybe not in the public works realm, but to me that's a substantial amount of money. And if we can only accomplish these two projects with $11 to $18 million, I think we're falling short of some of the real benefits that could be derived. Now, I mentioned the airport in an earlier remark about being complicit in the 2010 flood. The presence of the airport has also driven the design of this project, because what they can't, the basin, if you recall, the basin is tucked in right here along the edge of the RV storage area. Well, the reason it's in a 50 by 500 foot linear configuration is that the runway protection zone covers most of that area. The only thing left over from the runway protection zone is this 50 foot swath. Well, a half acre drainage basin is hardly, in my view, adequate to accommodate the kinds of flows we're talking about. Additionally, the groundwater in this area is very high and certainly has some seasonal fluctuation, but it goes to as little as 2 feet and up to maybe four and a half feet in depth. Well, if we're going to dig a basin, a sedimentation basin that's 3 to 4 feet deep, it's going to be in groundwater. I think that has inherent problems. So, there are some miscellaneous issues. The airport itself has plans to pave another 2 acres for taxiway and runway areas. Yet that paving project and that runoff hasn't been incorporated into this plan, or hasn't been incorporated in any plan that I'm aware of to date. So you've got that. I'm pleased to hear that there will be some coordination between this project, if it goes forward, and the revitalization, because we wouldn't want to tear up Highway 1 and still have to make additional improvements. I just wanted to make a couple other concluding remarks. One is, you heard that the funding is short for this project. It's about $400,000 short. Unfortunately, half of the $2.7 million is in soft costs, consultants, engineering, so forth. I think that's unfortunate. And if the CDBG funds are in fact used for this project, that will exhaust Oceano's contribution for I think, some time. It's my view that, well, I'd ask your board to do exactly what I asked the Sanitation District Board to do, and that is really take a look at this project in a very intensive way and draw conclusions, participate in the Board of Supervisors meetings, draw your own conclusions. My view is that the approach in Oceano drainage and flooding should be a larger one. Right now, we have four agencies working on projects. State Parks is working on a project in the Meadow Creek area. They're not discussed at all in here. The airport, as you've heard, is working on a project. Grover Beach has made improvements to Grand Avenue and Highway 1. There doesn't seem to be any coordination between the various agencies to really look at this in a comprehensive way. And in a way that's going to get the most bang for the buck at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate your time. And if you do have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Anybody have any questions? Thelma, I think.
I don't have a question, but I have a comment.
Please.
I, too, would like to see the Oceano flooding problem addressed comprehensively, because I have never understood how we focus on 13th Street and the flooding that takes place there, the ever-present potential for the flooding of the lagoon into the island, and 4th Street. 4th Street floods. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to get an answer to what's going on there, but it's a bigger problem as 13th Street when it rains. You can't get through there. Mm-hmm. So I'm in agreement with you on that. And I think if we are spending $18 million on a project like that, that we should be looking at all of these things and how they connect, and maybe perhaps by connecting them as a project, we would save money and get what needs to be done. So thank you.
Jeff, let me understand this correctly. You're saying you think the leach bed, the sediment bed, that what did you say it was?
The sedimentation basin?
Somewhere. And the bottom line is Oceano has a magnitude of flooding going on all over the place. And we all knew it when we bought our house insurance, and we all knew it when we moved here, you know. Look, my stop sign is going to sink a foot a year, and it's done that ever since I moved here. And then also, too, is that I think, just for the record, is that Zone 11A was created after the 05 flood when the levee was breached, mm-hmm. and that's when the Corps of Engineers were brought in, and there was more attention paid to the creek. So it does have a long history on it, all this project. So, but I wanted to make it clear what your appeal is, and it's basically the size of the drain and how the state manages its money, right?
It's the cost of the project and how much water is actually being
handled. Okay, but the cost of the project is a collaborative effort. I probably have to ask Public Works, what portion is going to be from here? How much of block grant money? How much of community money is going into it? Because you have probably 4 to 5 entities that are going to fund it. You have Caltrans, state, HUD, county, and the railroad. I don't know if the railroad's putting anything in. They usually don't.
They're going to take money.
Okay, so there's 4 entities putting it in there. But what portion of that really is coming from home? I think it's the key word, because we're not going to fix the state on this. Sorry, we're not going to do it. I'd love to, but...
I couldn't agree more that a comprehensive approach is needed, a master plan, if you will, of not only Oceano, but of Grover, because it all drains to one area. In 2004, there was a study that Jeff alluded to, this RMC, Oceano Drainage and Flood Control Study.
Right.
This is a good start. in combination with the Meadow Creek hydrologic analysis, or hydraulic analysis, excuse me, would be a good way to move on to a master plan. That's what's needed. We know Zone 1-1A is Arroyo Grande Creek Channel focused. So they're not, in fact, that their jurisdiction stops at Sand Canyon Flapgates, and everything upstream is in, you know, is still subject to study and analysis. You asked about the money. I'm not sure exactly how much CDBG money. That's a little bit in a state of flux right now. You heard that the board maybe board of supervisors may be pulling back on that. I know that there was an original grant of $190,840 from CDBG. I'm not sure how much more money is coming. This project, in terms of local funds, this project is largely grant-funded, virtually 100%. The county is advancing some funds now so that for design and to pay the engineers and what have you. But it's my view, just because it's 100% grant-funded doesn't mean it's a good project. And in fact, unfortunately, I've seen County Public Works in particular shape many projects just based on grant availability. And I think that's a problem, can be a problem. Yeah. So I'm happy to answer any other questions, but we need a comprehensive global look at this, I think.
I have a quick question. What's the procedural posture of your appeal, or what exactly?
Well, what will happen on June 4th is that the Board of Supervisors will hear the matter quite similar to how you heard it tonight. Staff will make a presentation. I, as the appellant, will make a presentation, and then there'll be public comment, and they'll make a decision on the project. And so that will be the sequence.
And the take-home message, it's not enough. More needs to be done.
Indeed. Resources are limited. And to spend $2.7 million on this project to handle what is one-sixth of a square mile, mm-hmm. when the Meadow Creek watershed is over seven square miles, it needs to be more. We need to get more done for the same amount of money, in my view.
So, thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards.
Very good.
Item number 7 was the consent agenda, and there was the correction that item 7AD was actually the personnel committee. The report on that being the staff report to items
and
10D, 1, 2, and 3.
And we moved C, right?
And we had moved the Elizabeth Ray letter, which was CA, to the regular business items, which was now after 10G. That was already discussed.
I move that we accept the consent agenda. Second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Carries. Can I ask for a roll call vote since the warrants are in there?
There was two. She
two more adjustments you put on this?
No, it was just the one customer account that
two
different types of
yes.
calculations. We had a seasonal calculation and an annual calculation.
Oh, yes.
They came out pretty close to the same, but they still need a decision made on
which one. You've got to tell us before we vote. Okay, so now I think, Molly, we need a motion to undo the vote, right?
I move.
Hang on.
I withdraw the consent agenda.
It's too late.
Withdraw this item from the consent
agenda? No.
Yeah.
I move to accept the consent agenda. Now I'd like to make a motion to cancel that. Cancel accepting the consent agenda.
Let me have a second. You can do it. That's fine.
If you have another way of getting it done, just so we can move on.
That's fine.
I'll second.
Is there another way?
All right. Now we got. Let's do a roll call vote since we.
Yeah.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Sure. Okay. Now everything's unbuttoned. Jocelyn, what's the? Can you talk into the microphone? Can you tell me what the issue is with this is, we're referring to item 7D, the rate adjustment for the hills on Northland.
Okay, so there's two different calculations. One of them is a seasonal calculation, and the other one is an annual calculation. Basically, the annual calculation takes the last six billing periods the whole year,
and takes the average. And the other one is just taking the seasonal, the last 3 years. So what, the same billing cycle, just three last year, the year before, and the year before.
What are the dollar differences?
Okay, so if you look at the bottom of the page, the adjustment for the seasonal is $33.63, and the adjustment for the annual is $39.77.
Just for out of curiosity, how many times has this bill had to have been adjusted?
It was adjusted once before.
Just once?
Just once before, okay. And it's because of the overlap. When the leak was found, when it was corrected, it was in the middle of the next billing cycle. So we adjusted the account, and if you can see on here, we have the adjustment calculation shows, like on the annual average one, it says $63.40, but we took out the prior adjustment credit so that we're only adjusting $39.77.
Anybody have a preferred method? $39.77, okay?
Yes.
Give them the 39, and then maybe this will be the end of it.
What's that, Lori? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I think we should give them the 39.77 so we can get this done.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need
If it's a problem, I'll put the $6.14 in.
Okay. I think we need to split this off because we need to make a different motion.
I think you need to take this off the consent agenda.
I think so. That's what I think.
There's obviously discussion about it.
We need to peel this off. Okay, let's take this off the consent agenda. It'll go after item 7CA on the business items.
So we have to still have to vote to accept the consent agenda minus this
item
one.
7D.
7D.
Yeah.
I move that we accept the
Wasn't there another one you took off?
Elizabeth Ray, that was already.
Yeah. Okay, the remaining consent agenda Elizabeth minus that. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. So I move that we accept the consent agenda minus 7E and 7B. D. Oh. Okay. No.
There's
no.
Not a 7E.
D. 7 A E. No, A C.
No, C A.
And
7C. C-A.
Oh, well.
Let's restate that, Mary.
Oh, I don't even want to do it now. Okay. I move that we accept the consent agenda minus 7. Now you got me all confused. 7D. You mean C.
A.
And 7D.
7C then total, or it's just 7CA?
7 you make C-A. It. You make it.
I'm not CA.
It's 7CA?
A and
okay.
B, yeah.
So for clarification, so the consent agenda.
A and B.
Minus
7CA and
A,
C.
Okay.
And 7D.
Okay. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Right.
All in favor?
All in favor, say aye.
And so our start date will probably be sometime in June. We're still working with everybody involved to get that done. There was some confusion as far as the start date being on the 5th. That was something that we were aiming for, but that was something that we did not achieve just within the last few weeks. And on that token, there will be a Cinco de Mayo event, but it will not be a farmer's market Cinco de Mayo event.
Okay.
And we still have verbal commitments. We are still looking for more farmers for our certified producers. And we've connected with the STRIDE program at Cal Poly. And we have another addition to send in for our certification application. And that was something that we're not made aware of until this last week. So we'll be sending that one in to get that finished. And that's about where we are right now. There's been a lot of waiting and waiting for basic things to get settled down and ordered. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are right now. Hopefully I'll have more to report next month.
Thank you, Mary. I think you pretty much covered the Cinco de Mayo. Andrea Vernon had taken the bull by the horns and was trying to make it happen. She's arranged a lot of performers. The issue now is funding and trying to figure out how to pay for the
performers. She did that. That was something that was accomplished basically without us knowing that it was being mm-hmm. accomplished. And they, they've got it pretty much finished. We didn't find out about it until this last week. And that's where we are. We're glad that it's happening.
And the Latino Outreach Council is going to meet tomorrow morning and discuss what, if anything, can be done, because I had taken the application into the supervisor's office
yes.
and they declined to sign. So
yeah.
That's going to be addressed tomorrow
yes,
morning.
Yes, so any other communication, I'm definitely open to that, and I would love to hear where things are.
We'll let you know.
So, all right, thank you.
So you have not got your minor use permit then?
Yes, we do. As far as I know, yes, that
yes,
was approved.
We do. Okay, so will the permit date affect if the event has changed dates? Is the permit going to be impacted by that?
No, the permit is, I think, approximately for a year. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a farmer's market. We extended it out the time frame, so if we wanted to use it all year, but the farmer's market is actually seasonal, but we still have the opportunity to use it for events if we want to. So this is not going to change anything.
Did it cost the district or the committee anything, the permit?
Not as far as I am aware of.
Okay. So really the cost was going to the certification.
Yes, mm-hmm. for the certified market, for us to become a certified market.
Okay.
And I don't know what to call it, if it's a certificate application or certification application. But anyways, the application to make us a certified farmers market was missing a component that we were not made aware of until this week. And so we need to add that to it so that it will be finished.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
And that was all the information I had on 8B also, which is the Cinco de Mayo celebration. Item number 8C is the Sheriff's South Station Commander Jim Taylor, and I did see.
Oh, we got a new guy.
You're not Jim Taylor? Good evening.
Jim couldn't make it. He had a meeting he had to go to, so he sent me in his place. I don't really have anything to report for you guys. I have a few stats. They had about 100 incidents in the last 23 days that we captured. We looked through some stuff. Nothing's really changed. A lot of thefts. Mm-hmm. Identity theft's a big thing. Check your credit report. Don't get mail in an open mailbox. But other than that, everything else pretty much. There was a case last night. I can't talk to you about it because you may end up on the other side of the deal. It's pretty good. You'll hear about it later. But you guys did some good work on that. So. Anyway, I got nothing else for you. There's no incidents as far as community-oriented stuff with the school guys or anything that I'm aware of. There's nothing like that pending. So,
do you know if the graffiti removal team's been out lately?
I do know that I talked to the clerks today. Is this about the graffiti on a fire department building?
No, actually, I didn't see that, but.
Matt, I called them today.
Yeah. Okay, Marie called the greedy freedom removal people?
I
okay.
I called the graffiti removal
people.
I talked to next door, and she said.
To the clerks? You talked to the clerks over
there? I talked to Jan today.
Yeah.
And so.
What they're going to do is in the morning, one of the guys is going to go capture it, probably with photographs.
I called the police to say that, that my checks have been stolen. So. Now I know, she's back out, got to lock the box.
And I don't know who she is that you're referring to. However, I can tell you that it's not a real sophisticated crime to commit. And it's very easy. Sentencing is light, generally.
Yep.
And it's an easy crime to commit. So the reward versus the risk is well worth it for a lot of them.
Yep.
And it's very simple to do. And it doesn't even have to be that they get in your mail. It can be, I mean, there's a variety of ways of doing it, and it can get very sophisticated. But just in general, it's not that sophisticated.
All right. So. Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Item 8D, OCSD operations. It looks like Marie McGrath, are you presenting? Or we have a written report from... Okay. All right. She stated she doesn't have anything to add to the written report. It was attached in the packet. So we'll go ahead and move on to item 8E, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo?
I didn't have any. Thank you. I was out of town.
Director Hurdle?
Yes, I did attend a couple of special meetings regarding personnel issues, and then also a personnel meeting on the 19th where we discussed the interim position for Mr. Gieslin. I did attend an OAC meeting on the 22nd. We had Jeff Lee's presentation that he gave this evening. State Parks had a representative. They brought back their renovation for the pier side of the county park, I mean the state park. They had to break it up because of Coastal Commission issues, and so they brought the part that actually belongs to the district to us, or to the county, to review. And there was announcements of retirements that are going to take place. Some of the board members of OAC are retiring, and we also introduced our newest board member, Ms. Jennifer Blackburn. So. And that was that.
Thank you, Director Hurdle. I was also at the Personnel Committee meeting and the personnel meetings that we had last week. It's been a long week and a half. But I think that the OCSD is going to be okay. And we wish everybody the best. We've come a long way in the last 2 years, and we've got a long way to go. But I also attended the Sanitation District meeting last Wednesday, and there was a budget review. It was interesting to see, you know, where the money is going and such. And we spent a lot of time in litigation. The sanitation district, coming out of closed session, we made a public announcement that the district is authorizing litigation against SDRMA, who is the insurance carrier that should have picked up the tab for the December 2010 spill. And so... a law firm, the Schindler Law Group, was retained on a contingency basis to bring that litigation about. And we are hopeful that the monies that were spent, remember it's about $691,000 out of sanitation district budget operating funds, we'll be able to get at least a portion of that back against the contingency. So whatever we get back, if anything, some of that will go to the lawyer. So, you know, we're hopeful that that will go well. Additionally, I met, or you can look forward, because I met with the staff today, but you can look forward to next week what is called a pro forma, and it's going to be the kind of a change in the paradigm on how the budget is done and the projections going into the future. And you'll see that by 2014, we're $10 million in the hole on some of this for the capital improvement projects and the things that need to be done. And so that's going to be part of a large policy discussion on how to pay for that. The upside to that, if you think about it, though, and this meeting hasn't happened, is that Paso Robles, I think, is spending $40 million to do the same kind of stuff to their plant. And so... It's a lot of money, but it just goes to show that these are decisions that have to be made. And also the other thing too is anybody that's interested, I've asked Matt Haber to upload our meetings to the website. And so anybody that wants to see him because they're audio recorded. Anybody that wants to hear the meetings within days of the meeting should be able to click on those and hear specific portions. And again, I've recommended anybody who is at all interested to listen to the first April meeting, which was April 3rd, where Shannon Sweeney gives her presentation on how the sewer, which is public comment on the business items. If there's any, as the
what we have for staff reports are our staff reports, and they're included in the budget. There was an amended staff report for anybody that didn't see it, but related to item 10C, which is the LAFCO special district charges. That was my mistake when I put that there was no fiscal impact to the district. I looked at that later and said, oh, yes, there is. We pay for this. So that was. I apologize if there's any confusion. All right, Felma takes some responsibility, too. But I do apologize if there's any confusion regarding that. And we do have, thanks to Jocelyn Hodson, we do have an updated report on that. So without further ado, is there public comment on item number 9? Mr. Edwards, and then I saw Ms. Naylor raise her hand. We'll take a break after public comment this evening. So.
Thank you, Jeff. President Guerrero, board members, Jeff Edwards. I wanted to initially, as I have in the past from time to time, raise the question about the agenda organization. I'm hopeful that after this meeting there may be some changes to the agenda and how public comment is taken. My particular point right now is that we're being asked to comment on board business items that haven't been presented, and that puts the public at a disadvantage, and I don't think it really helps your district because you don't get the benefit of whatever the public has to offer based on educated or informed comments. In that connection, you may have received a letter dated April 17th from Mr. Terry Frank, Californians Aware, and he makes some of the very same points. And so I'm hopeful that the agenda might change. In format, and frankly, I would like to see the six-minute limitation done away with. I don't think it was needed when it was enacted, and I certainly don't think it's needed now, so that would be my request. Secondly, I have a question, Mr. Guerrero, regarding your Sand District update. You're filing an action against the insurance carrier to recover the costs of defense. And I'm wondering, does the $1.1 million fine, is that in play at all, or is that something that simply has to be negotiated independently? So that's kind of a question. And then lastly, I'd like to touch on item 10B, which is the contract amendment with WSC. And as I have mentioned in the past, you're paying WSC over $20,000 a year, and I'm not sure what they're doing for you. This is adding up. Now they've been on board for 3 years, I think, three going on four. Also, you have another contractor, GEI, which is on the warrants for tonight. You're paying them $5,111, and I'm not sure what they do for you and how their work relates to WSC. Both of them ostensibly are consulting you on your water resources or consulting in connection with the NCMA. So, in my opinion, I don't think you need either WSC or GEI, frankly. And I don't think the court is requiring you to retain these folks. So I'd ask you to look into that. And then with regard to the WSC contract amendment, I remember last year this was done towards the end of the year. Now it's kind of spring. Why are we looking at this now and not 3 or 4 months from now? So it looks premature to me. And frankly, I think some of the money, and I'll conclude with this, some of the money you're paying these consultants with could be used to accumulate resources to make your own infrastructure improvements. So I just offer that up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. And the question about the SDRMA, I do not have reason to believe that the fine would be covered, but the approach is, at this point, I believe, defense costs. And it'll be in the lawsuit, which would be public record, of course. So, thank you. Ms. Naylor, good evening.
Hi. I guess my public comment is about public comment, because I walked in and this is such an important meeting. We're talking about water issues and flooding issues again. And I don't know if this is the appropriate public comment period, but I wanted to comment when Jeff raised the issue of area, which area are we going to focus on if we're going to ameliorate the flooding issues that pervade Oceano. I do think that if we're limited in our money resources, we need to
hit two birds with one stone and figure out what flooding area can we fix and bring business in. And of course, for me, that would be where Paso Robles intersects with Old Highway 1. There's that major flooding every year, and our one viable business, the gas station, that negatively affects the gas because the water seeps in.
Some $75, $7,650 of your district's money was spent to monitor the situation well outside your district. So you've already contributed to their project. Item B, the discussion of the WSC contract amendment. Don't pay them this fiscal year. They've already gotten $25,000 out of you this fiscal year already. So I hope that this agreement, if you're going to enter into it, that you do so contingent upon payment sometime after your budget's been adopted and approved in July. As far as LAFCO, I don't know how you can endorse a budget if you don't know the bottom line for your district. So I would encourage you to get those numbers and then bring it back for a future discussion. Discussion of the general manager and interim general manager situation. I would like a better explanation as to why 10D1 has been removed. I do believe that Ms. Hodson is qualified from an administrative perspective of the district office, but I would like, if you bring that back, to have district council look at the revolving door conflict of interest possibility. I did just learn that she worked for Caliber Audit and Attest quite recently. The minutes on this personnel committee really should be written separate from this, in that who was there, who participated, what came out of that. And I do want to thank you for allowing outsiders to participate in shaping what the job description will be for Oceano. And I think I wish you well in finding that perfect person, because the job description is great. Fast forward your audit engagement letter. In light of the recent events here in Oceano's Community Services District, I wonder if that should be a forensic audit. And then if I could close with the closed session item that I misunderstood, or maybe didn't understand, if you're having a special meeting tomorrow and not discussing that tonight, or if you're going to discuss it both nights. And I would caution you on settling with Mr. Gieselin until all discovery is made, and that any that you could litigate in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Tucker.
Thanks.
And it was a good meeting we had on Friday, and Ms. Tucker was present at that personnel committee meeting. Is there any other? I said Chief Arenas. He came in civvies, in case you didn't recognize him. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening. Joel Arenas, Five Cities Fire Authority, discussing item 10E, the repairing of the roll-up doors here at Station 61. I just wanted to make the board aware that the parts to repair those doors have been ordered, and they've been ordered for some time. It's an anodized aluminum, which is what's taking so long. The agreement that we had come to was the authority would pay for the repair of the doors, and the district was going to pay for the upgrade of the motors that will be self-reversing and put an eye system on the door. So if something were to break the eye, the doors would automatically return to the up position. The motors that are currently on there do not do that, and there is no seeing eye system on the doors. So I just wanted to make you aware of that's what we had tentatively talked about, and I wasn't sure if you were aware of that or not.
No, I wasn't aware of that. I wasn't aware that Oceano is going to be expected to not only, pay our portion to the JPA, but then also, as our equipment broke down, that we were going to have to repair our equipment, where the other stations benefit from the JPA. So, no, I wasn't aware of that at all.
the way the contract reads is the three governing entities own the buildings, and they're required for all they're required to maintain the buildings, and that's for Station 61, 66, as well as Station 68. But this was clearly our fault, and we felt that it our duty to make the repairs to the doors.
I never got a report on this. I only saw the damage. I never got a report. You never came to us and said, look, this is what happened, blah, blah, blah. I still don't know to this day. So if you would like to provide something in writing.
Sure.
So we know what happened, because we don't. We just know the doors are broke. Right. And that we're now going to have to pay for it.
In your...
And I...
What?
On the fire. No.
All right. I think that's out of order. You have to wait till the next public comment session. Thank you. All right. We'll take a break. It's 8:04. We'll take go till 8:10.
Is there any way that we can get?
All right. We'll call this meeting back to order. Oceana Community Services District. We've just returned from break. It's 8:21 p.m. I hope everybody feels a bit refreshed. We did not actually close public comment, and I think Ms. Ray may have had something she wanted to say. Okay. Ms. Elizabeth Ray, good evening. And I think that your agenda item is 7CA, which is
yes.
Moved to the business items.
My agenda item, my name's Elizabeth Ray. I live at 1775 Rochelle Way in Oceano. And there is a proposal for a metal shed in the back, and the plans are completely submitted. I'm working on it right now with the fire department chief. And the only problems that I was having with it, I was coming to the board to appeal on changing the main on the property itself. I just had a smart meter put in, and if there was a size problem with that, I would have liked to have known it then instead of having a separate issue now after it's already been approved at the county. And so there was no problems there. So I didn't understand how Five Cities Fire ended up involved in that. So I was just coming to the board to appeal for any type of clarity on this new bill.
Have your questions been answered? I saw you speaking with the chief.
Yeah, I think they're going over it now. So
do you want us to table this item?
Just until morning, maybe? That would.
Well, I've got to put it over till the next meeting.
Okay. Yeah. That would be good.
Till the next meeting?
Yeah.
Okay,
right,
we'll go ahead and do that.
Thank you.
Good to
thank
see you again.
Yeah,
long
nice
time
to see you.
Nice to see you guys, and congratulations. You guys keep moving forward and growing stronger, and I'm glad to hear it. Really
thanks.
Good. Allie, thank you very much, Ms. Ray. We get a lot of moral support from each other. So, just remind me when we get to this item, we'll go ahead and table that. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. Moving on to item number 10A, discussion, review, and potential approval to send a letter of support to NCSD Supplemental Water Project, another groundwater project. The staff report is what was provided. This was a letter that's kind of a redo of the letter that we sent out about a year and a half ago. I tuned it up a little bit, but I'm not married to this letter, so I'm open to suggestions, criticisms, comments, and a motion to kill if that's what the board decides to do, or if we should decide to go ahead and send it.
Well,
go ahead, Mary.
I'm not quite sure what they're doing up at Napomo Community Service District. I don't know what their future plans are. I don't know if they're going to put a line in, not put a line in. And so I'm a little reluctant to step into what they're doing. That's my hesitancy there, because I don't know what they're doing, so it's kind of hard to be supportive at this point.
If you look at this letter, we're not saying to put in a line. We're not saying to go against their voters' will, and you know, although some would argue that that's what they're doing, we're not making those proposals. What the litigation has required them to increase their water and to diversify, is my understanding. And so because of that, we're sending a letter to the Board of Supervisors saying we encourage
them to basically follow what the court has already ordered and to increase their water supply.
So would it not be more appropriate to direct the letter to the RAC, the Water Resource Advisory Committee, who advises the Board of Supes on all water, ground, state, countywide? Would it not be more appropriate to send a letter in that direction, since they're the ones advising the Board of Supes?
Where we sent it last time was to the Napomo CSD. We could CC everybody we want. We could CC the Board of Supervisors. We could CC RAC.
Yeah,
this is a copy of the letter if you want it. And it's basically a redo of the last one.
Right.
Molly, do you have a weigh-in on that? Your microphone's off. Your microphone's off.
Was this the letter that was requested by the NCMA and each of the entities submitted a letter?
Yes.
And ours is the last one to go in?
Ours is different. We did decline to sign off on the letter that they proposed.
And we were doing a separate one?
We were doing our own separate letter. And this. Thelma's is missing it, too. I think we had a problem with the photocopy.
Yeah, I'm missing it as well.
I don't have Thelma's.
You don't have Thelma's? I'll share with Thelma. And this is the this has a fiscal impact to the OCSD. It's a contract in amount of $112,880. It's for staff extension services. The OCSD pays a portion of that. The OCSD's portion would be $23,704.80. There's three areas that are being amended. This is a contract that's been signed. One is staff extension. The second is deep percolation analysis. And the third is project management. And these are the characterizations from the SMGB. I think it would be an impact to the district of almost $24,000. Jocelyn left.
Can I make a comment on this?
Sure.
This also has a couple of issues that are sort of tangential but are related to the presentation on the Santa Maria groundwater litigation. There's a couple of things that are going on that may impact each of these issues, so you might want to move this to the end as well.
All right, why don't we take this to the bottom of the agenda item as well, then?
Okay. Can I get one so we can get a copy of this? Because it wasn't in my packet as well.
Sure, we can photocopy that. Somehow we missed some stuff in our packets. We can photocopy that when we go back for closed session. Then there's item number C, which is the discussion and review of LAFCO consideration of proposed fiscal year 2013-2014 budget and how it will impact the district. This was the one I addressed earlier that that it would have no fiscal impact, but that was incorrect. Subsequent this afternoon, once I realized the error, I spoke with Jocelyn Hodson, and she prepared an agenda item 10C report. And in short, it says that in 2012-2013, LAFCO charged special districts a total of $146,673, of which OCSD paid 7.58% of the $146,000. Which was an amount of $11,115.45. For 2013 and 2014, LAFCO is increasing their charge to the special districts to $155,287. This is an increase of $8,614 or 5.9% from the previous year. At this time, it's unclear what the amount that the percentage that the OCSD would be responsible for, because each year the allocation of the percentage is based on revenues on the state controller's special district's annual report. And so the fiscal impact to the OCSD at this time is unknown. If the OCSD's amount was raised 5.9%, consistent from the year prior, it would be an increase of about $700. Mm-hmm. For a total, would bring us to just under $12,000, would be the Oceano Community Services District portion for the LAFCO special budget. And so, not special budget, but LAFCO budget.
I don't know how we could do this right now when we don't have a proposed budget in front of us.
Do we have, I'm trying to see here, this was submitted on April 18th, and I'm trying to figure out when they're going to have their meeting. According to their resolution, it was April 18th. It was set for public hearing on April 18th. They considered they're considering the budget. It's saying, whereas the commission considered the proposed budget prior to May 1st, 2013, and approved it as the final budget for fiscal year 2013-2014 prior to June 15th. So,
can we ask the people in the back if they could just keep the discussion a little bit lower? Well, maybe somebody could put a call in to David and ask him when they're going to be doing. They have April 18th right here.
Right, they have April 18th, and it's up May 1st, and they have a June date as well. So are you suggesting we direct staff to call LAFCO, ask them what Oceano's percentage is going to be, and when they're going to approve this budget?
Correct.
That okay?
Yeah.
All right, why don't we direct staff in that regard? Staff will call David Church or somebody at LAFCO, find out what Oceano's and the citizens worked this together. Exhibit B is the old general manager description as best we could locate, and we believe that this is actually the current job description, which we believe was outdated. If the board notices, the board approved this job description of general manager February 12, 1992. So that's the only one we found, 21 years ago. And so the resolution that we propose is that we rescind this and any other job descriptions in case there's an updated one so there's not confusion, and that the Exhibit A would be the job description that controls.
I have a 1999 job description.
You have a 1999? Okay, well, then there is a new one, but that's why we put any to rescind any prior job descriptions.
It includes routine days. It starts with quiet time.
Really?
Yeah.
Thoughtful prayer.
Is quiet time and sunset the same thing?
Quiet time is the first activity of the day.
Do a kumbaya moment. Okay, well, so that's why we want to rescind any and all job descriptions. Lori, your microphone's not on.
What's that?
Your microphone is not on.
Oh.
So if there's any board discussion. And I did notice, actually, a couple of typos. On Exhibit A, the first, under definition, the third line down, it says there's the collection. It should be and disposal, so and would be added. Disposal of wastewater. And then down the third line from the bottom of the paragraph in number one, it says acts A1 space S. That should be acts as secretary to the board of directors. Under classification characteristics, in the second line, it says, serves at the pleasure of and is accountable to the board of directors. Is should be added before accountable. And unless anybody else caught anything or wants to delete or change anything from this job description.
Where was the last one, Matt?
Okay. Under classification characteristics, which is item number two, the second sentence, which actually it's all one sentence, the second line in this Elizabethan sentence, it should say, serves at the pleasure of and is accountable to the board of directors. And right now there's no is. It should say and is accountable.
should be plural for organizations.
Where are you looking at, Director Wilson?
Under definition, I don't know if you got that. It should say public and private organizations.
Which paragraph are you on?
First paragraph.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sentence. First organizations.
And private organizations. Yeah, it should have an S.
Correct. And you already got the 1A
yes.
stuff. Right, okay.
Molly, do you have any additions or changes?
No, nothing additional.
Director Angelo? Oh, go ahead. Thelma?
Just I kind of like the quiet time in the morning, though.
Do you want to add quiet time in the morning? Starts with yoga.
I'm looking at physical characteristics.
You got to speak up, Thelma, in the mic, please.
The physical characteristics, that's on page 3.
Yes.
You're on.
Okay. C, I think we should clarify mobility to work in a standard office environment. I think that I don't know what a standard work environment is, but I know that we need to provide ADA accommodations. So I think we should maybe be a little bit more specific, or I don't know. Standard.
I would take out D.
Definitely take out D.
Okay.
Take the whole thing out.
D was no physical limit.
What's now in C?
Yeah, under this job, I can't see anybody that we could not accommodate.
Well, I think, and also
employers,
a statement should be made.
It is our job to make accommodations as needed.
And the statement should be made added under at that section.
Well, the thing is
according
ADA,
to that,
yeah,
an ADA statement
under
should
the ADA,
be added. Yeah,
you know, accommodations will be provided as needed.
Reasonable,
just like if somebody
reasonable accommodations.
Who's hearing impaired, mm-hmm. you know, it is our job to get somebody who does American Sign Language in to accommodate.
Well, if you go to the lift station, that's a confined space.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be required that a general manager go down into the lift station, and which is a confined space type activity where you have to take a harness. There's a winch that you go down with. I mean, you go down a ladder, but you're hooked to a...
Why would the general manager be required?
Yeah, why would an administrator be down in the hole?
I've been down there.
That's not your scope of work.
Well, it can be to
did the president go down the hole?
Yeah.
Is it necessary?
Well, that's my question. I mean, if something needs repair, this is the lead, and for the yard guys as well, and they may want to show him or her the problem in the lift station. So you need to see this.
I see it. I don't see it. This whole section, I see it as weak, and in this day and age, it borders on a discriminatory policy.
I tend to agree. You needed an ADA statement.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you had this.
I think an ADA statement is needed, but...
But you've brought up good points.
To discriminate anybody
start
based
adding.
On physical abilities is really our responsibility. Not the person who's disabled's responsibility.
However, you do need, it is our responsibility to list, you know, if the person needs to lift 20 pounds, if the person may occasionally need to climb down into a confined space, that's fair. As long as there's an ADA statement, so you can either leave the whole thing out or put a good ADA statement in the bottom. And if you're going to start listing...
Or they may need to climb to the top of a tank. You know, those are
right.
30 feet high.
Now I'm going to stick to my point. I worked in the Department on Disability for so long, right? And I worked with people who had... We made accommodations for dogs that needed for sight. We had ADT machines, you know,
No, you make accommodation, but you may need to know.
We even had people who couldn't walk that their cars were modified so they could drive. So there's absolutely nothing left that we can discriminate against somebody on physical ability to do or not to do. Look, if somebody told me to get on top of the tank, I would tell the field supervisor, get up there, take the picture, and bring it on down. Because I'm not going up there, and I can perfectly get up there, but I'm not going up there. You know, just like a close confined space. We have the ability now to bring that space to a person.
But we're not saying that we're not doing it. These are just some of the requirements that if somebody needs accommodation, that they will know that they need to ask for it or that this is something that may become an issue. It's not that we're not providing accommodation. It's simply, it's like many job descriptions say, must lift 20 pounds, bending and stooping required,
right.
Must be able to run 5 miles, whatever it is. And those are things that somebody applying needs to know. And if climbing to the top of the tank or going down to a confined space, things like vision to read printed materials on a computer screen, I mean, that's kind of getting into some odd. It would be more the specialized things like the confined space, climbing to the top, okay. Bending, stooping, lifting.
So maybe we take this out and put in a more generic ADA statement, but then list job may require confined space,
yeah,
or ladder.
Reasonable accommodation will,
mm-hmm,
be made.
Mm-hmm. Upon request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, minimum 50 pounds.
Job may require what?
It should be a minimum of 50.
You guys, okay, job at times may require whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it is, but I'm sure there is some out there.
I always do at least 50 because it's
okay.
Not
bending,
a lot of
stooping,
weight.
Climbing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I need you to write it because we're going to try to.
Oh, right now?
Yeah, because ideally we'll approve this tonight and get it up so we can advertise. Because the next part of this discussion is advertising the job, and we'd like to.
Oh, yeah. We've got to talk in the mics because the guys in the back really can't.
We'd like to be able to get the job. We'd like to get be able to get the job advertised this week, and so if we could hammer out the changes tonight.
Is there walking?
Yes.
Walking, like how many miles?
There could be walking for meter reading.
Pounds, walking up to 1 mile.
Climbing ladders.
Climbing ladders. What?
Writing staff reports.
Yeah, you can go on and on and on with stuff like that. That's why I would think there's an overall statement.
It's really a limited physical position.
Right, it's not a physical. It's not a construction.
That's why I put may require. They just need to know that they may.
May require limited physical. May require limited physical exertion.
Such as
that's just a standard job.
OCSD practices.
Right.
You know.
How about job may require limited physical exertion, such as bending, stooping, lifting 50 pounds, walking up to 1 mile, climbing ladders. Reasonable accommodation will be made for any applicant as necessary.
Sure.
It's right here.
Yeah.
And we have it. Yeah, we have
in front of
loose
us.
Language on our agenda. So what do you need? Is you need to under the definition, or no?
So we're just gonna. Are we deleting the C and changing that with this? I mean, not C, but physical characteristics. Deleting that whole section and put in that language that you just came up with?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we read your writing if we give it to... Can you read it out to us so we can...
Can we print it nice neatly or read it out loud?
You're left-handed. That's hard
print.
To do.
Hey. I'm left, too, and I can't write. And my English teacher told
Don't
me I didn't have to
on
practice.
Us lefties.
Okay. I'll also write it, but for now I'll read it.
There's three lefties up here, so everybody knows.
Job may require limited physical exertion, including bending, stooping, lifting 50 pounds, walking up to 1 mile, and climbing ladders. Reasonable accommodation will be made for any applicant as necessary.
Okay.
Great.
And so we're deleting physical characteristics and adding that language. Any issue with the licensing and certification? I'm asking specifically on C, credit check, financial disclosure, conflict of interest disclosure, and background check will be required.
That's okay.
Okay.
Are you going to put up at the top up here under physical characters is pre-employment physical and drug tests will be required? Does that stay in there, or would you move that down to?
Let's move that down. Physical characteristics okay. to under license. Well, okay. that's not really a licensing.
It's
and
not
certification.
Really licensing.
Certification.
Certification. Yeah. Put it under license and certification. Did you do that? Must be bonded.
Okay. That's a good question. Where should we put that?
I don't know if we have to post it and tell you standard background checks will be until you get to the second stage. You don't do any backgrounds until, you know, the community has selected somebody. We've all selected somebody. And then, you know, standard background checks will be expected.
And
final applicants.
Final applicants.
Okay.
Come on, you guys are fading here.
I know.
So, does somebody want to make a motion?
So, are there any other changes? So, the motion would be to approve the resolution with Exhibit A as modified, right?
As modified.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Who made the motion?
I thought Mary did.
No, Matt did.
Oh, Matt did.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Then my comment okay. was, I'll take that as a motion. That's fine. I'll make the motion to approve resolution number 2013-04, resolution changing the job description of the general manager, that the job description attached as Exhibit A as modified would hereby be adopted. Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Carolyn, can I have a roll call vote?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 4-0, Director White being absent.
Did we have to do any public comment on this or anything?
That's already been adopted. The next item is 3, staff recommends posting a job vacancy general manager. So as the community is aware, the general manager position for the Oceanic Community Services. How do we post it and where do we post it? My recommendation is that we post it far and wide, that we look all over the state of California with, I'd say we go Bay Area, LA, and the Valley.
Isn't there a magazine that also you put the information into?
The problem with the magazine is if you look, we have a proposed a schedule here on the staff report.
Okay.
And if we go to post it in a magazine of general circulation, it's not going to be in time.
Okay.
Our proposed there's an unknown fiscal impact at this time. The general manager was previously making, it was a contract rate of $126,000 plus benefits. Benefits make it a multiplier, I think it's 1.88. The new contract will be, depend upon negotiations, depending upon experience and qualifications. The our proposal is that we receive a letter of interest, a completed application, resume or CV, and a professional writing sample. Our thought is that the professional writing sample need not be a report. I don't need a 50-page report.
Yeah.
I think what we're looking for is somebody that can write us staff reports that have some substance to them. And, you know, if somebody's held this position before and wrote a good staff report, well, that's fine, in my thinking. But the applicant can give their discretion. If we post this job, we can have it posted by tomorrow or Friday. The staff, or the recommendation from our personnel committee report, or personnel committee, is that the applications will be received by 5 o'clock on May 17th. That gives about 3 weeks for the applications to come in. Then a closed personnel committee meeting to review the applications will be scheduled at the regularly scheduled May 22nd board meeting. The applications would be available to all OCSD board members to review and comment on, but they would not be made available to the public given the confidential nature of them. Following the closed session personnel committee meeting, interviews would be arranged to occur at the regularly scheduled OCSD board meeting of June 12, 2013. An offer of employment may be made at that time with an anticipated start date of July 1st. That's the new fiscal year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came from.
Yes, we're gonna type.
The employment contract would be negotiated following an offer and acceptance of employment. So that's the proposed schedule, and that's why I don't think we have time to advertise it in
okay.
a magazine. We could advertise it in newspapers.
Yeah.
What about the League of California Cities website? Do they have a job?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
They do.
That would be a good place.
That'd be a good place.
So I would go electronically. If we're going
to
do anything in print, please just do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Don't do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a waste of your money. So two prints, at least five electronic postings, five sites.
I would think for print, I would recommend like LA Times, something out of the San Jose Bay Area.
Mercury News.
Fresno, Bakersfield, and then the Tribune. I would also want to advertise locally. We might have our best candidate in Oceano already.
We burned through them, buddy.
So that's my thought on it, and then the online that yeah. Molly mentioned. I don't know what it costs. I'm sure it's not free, but
yeah.
we could advertise. I don't mind if it's we'd buy 3 weeks worth of advertisement up
Speak
until.
Up.
They could buy 3 weeks worth of advertisement. If the applications are due by May 17th, we could advertise until May 17th. How does everybody feel about that? And, of course, we'd have to direct staff to get those done and posted. I don't think it's that difficult to post a job. We'd just have to word the job description for the advertisement. Say, see our website.
Yeah, and include application date closes May 17th, just when for all advertisements.
Yeah. Okay. So perhaps does anybody have any issue with this time schedule?
No.
Now that we've got a general manager, we'll direct staff to post this to the website, and we'll put it on our website as well, with the job just availability, the job vacancy. Perhaps, Molly, can you help write the print
yeah.
ad? Okay. Perhaps we could direct staff to work with Molly to get that out. And we'll get it posted. And just for the boards, I think one of the things we need to consider, and we can consider it at a later meeting, is the interview process.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke last Thursday to Jim Erb, who's the county mm-hmm. auditor. And Jim Erb volunteered to assist us in the interview process. Who might say this person's great or not great, and we might miss something. So it's a thought, and I want to throw it out there. We don't have to decide that tonight.
I can barely hear you.
Sorry. And so we don't have to decide that tonight, but it's a thought of whether or not how to conduct the interview. Do we have a board agreement? Do we need a motion to post the job vacancy, or is it just directed staff? Okay. I'll make the motion that the OCS, Oceano Community Services District, post a job vacancy in newspapers of general circulation in the Valley, in the Los Angeles area, and in the San Jose San Francisco area, that it also be posted online with our own website and through the Special Districts Association.
And whatever other websites you might find.
And whatever else is convenient. We could also put on Monster, or we'll just direct
yeah.
staff to go ahead and get those posted, that staff work with the District Legal Counsel.
And local.
And local media and newspapers as well, of course. And that staff work with legal counsel to get that and the new job application up with haste, I think by Friday?
Yes.
By Friday,
yep.
Close the business. All right, that'd be the motion.
I move that we accept the motion. Long-winded motion.
I'll second.
I'm a professional talker. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number E. Why don't we table item E, which was the fire department roll-up door. We'll have staff, I think we already directed staff to talk to the chief and find out what's going on with getting that fixed, because if it sounds like it might be handled, and if we got to get some sensors on our doors to update them, we're the building owners, so they can fix what's broken, we'll get it up to date. Moving on to item number F, discussion of audit engagement letter, fiscal year 2011-2012. And this is the letter from Caliber Audit. The fiscal impact, you'll see that the bid rate is $18,450. This is $450 more than last year. We've paid $18,000. Ms. Hodson and I reviewed the invoice from last year. They, even though they billed us $18,000, the total amount of their services was almost $40,000, and they wrote off, was it almost $21,000?
Actually, I think it was a little below 20, but it's like maybe $19,000.
They wrote off $19,000, right, in a good faith effort to keep our business. So, I've spoken with the auditors this week, and trying to remember, correct me if I'm wrong, Jocelyn, they expect to have a draft for us in May, correct? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, well, we're actually going to start the audit the beginning of May.
Okay.
So it gives us a little bit more time to get the numbers all finalized, and then we will give the numbers to Caliber for him to start his procedures. And expecting after that, it usually takes, you know, how long it takes to get the information, but I'm thinking 3 to 4 weeks at max. I mean,
what do you think the odds are of us having it done by the end of this fiscal year, so that we're not yet another year behind? I'm not going to hold you to it. It's okay.
I think that's if we start the beginning of May, that gives us 2 months. That's actually reasonable.
Reasonable?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one thing that he did tell me, I talked to Steve and Gary, right?
Gary's yes, name, Gary.
I talked to Steve and Gary, and they told me that with the condition that the books are in and working with you, they expect that this audit that it's going to be coming due, they'll be able to have it done in October.
That's correct.
So we'll be on the front end, which is...
I believe that could happen also.
Okay. And so the... I'll bring it back to the board for further discussion or a motion.
Well, I don't understand if it's going to be easier and now that things have cleaned up, why it's going to be more.
Because they're not anticipating writing off $20,000 in costs.
You know, I know all about those in-kind things. I move that we start the audit for 11-12, correct? Is it 11-12?
That's correct, 11-12.
Yeah, I move that we accept Del Recently. So is there a second? Or?
Oh, I'll second. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm looking through paper.
So just for clarification, since we're all talking, we should add a... paragraph in here that the auditor would present the audit
to the board of directors.
To the board of directors once it's complete.
Upon completion.
Upon completion.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Okay. Can I make a comment? Sorry.
Yes, please.
Present the audit report and also the internal control letter as well.
Yes, yeah. That sounds good. Okay. You got that language there?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks,
John. So with the amendments, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries 4-0. We're on our way. Got audit. Good things are happening. Moving on to item number 10G, resolution 2013-05, resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District,
declaring vegetation on certain properties to be seasonal and recurring public nuisance, and providing for weed abatement. There is a staff report and a resolution. This is one we've had, I think, every year. It's my third one. Any questions on it?
No, I think we've discussed this in depth.
All right.
Now, I move that we accept Resolution 2013-05, that the OCSD will declare vegetation on certain properties to be seasonal and reoccurring public nuisances and providing for weed abatement.
I'll second.
All right. Carolyn, can we have a roll call vote?
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 4-0 with Director Wright being absent. Prepare that for signature. I'll come by tomorrow, Carolyn. The item 7CA, which was the will serve for Elizabeth, was being tabled. Elizabeth Ray, that's tabled till the May 8th meeting.
Yep.
Item 7D, this is the Lynn Hill, Jim Hill rate adjustment, and it got brought over so that we could consider the two rates. And Jocelyn, can you tell us again what those on the bill adjustment recalculation?
Yes, as soon as I can find what I did with it. Okay.
No, we continue because it was on the consent agenda initially.
Okay.
So it went from 33.63 to an annual adjustment of 39.77.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think normal practice is we have been doing an annual calculation.
Uh-huh.
She actually called and requested a seasonal calculation, and then when we further looked at the ordinance, which is the next page, ordinance 2007-1 talks about billing adjustments whenever a bill reflects high usage compared to previous comparable seasonal billing periods.
Uh-huh.
The owner can request a billing adjustment. So with her call in and requesting a seasonal calculation, we reviewed it both ways.
Okay.
But in the past, we have been doing the calculation based on annual, the last six billings.
And tell me again, Jocelyn, what is the seasonal calculation and what is the annual calculation?
The annual calculation takes the average of the six previous billings,
okay,
which is because they're 2-month billing periods, so it's for the whole year, not including the one with the leak. So it starts with the previous month. And the seasonal takes into account the three previous years, same time period of that the leak was identified.
And what's the dollar amounts for each seasonal versus annual for this one?
For the seasonal adjustment calculation, we have $57.26 for the customer amount, but we've already given her a credit of $23.63 adjustment on the last billing. And so we less that, it's $33.63 for this adjustment, for the seasonal adjustment. And for the annual adjustment calculation, the customer amount was $63.40, less the prior adjustment credit of $23.63, for a total adjustment of $39.77.
Okay, thank you. So the lesser amount would actually be a seasonal adjustment, mm-hmm, which is what the ordinance specifies that we're supposed to do, and it was actually signed by this particular tenant, or own property owner, who was board president at the time. Would anybody have an objection to taking the seasonal?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Mary?
No, I don't care.
All right, I'll make a motion to have a bill adjustment recalculation based on the seasonal rate, which would be $33.63.
You know, part of the problem of Matthew saying you talk too much, you have to sit down, is because I don't know when the public comment period arises. And just for example, it seems like if you're going to approve to send a letter out stating the board's position on whether, you know, we're in favor of Nacimiento seeking other water sources, should there be public comment before you make that decision, or is that something that doesn't require public comment? Then the thing that's more pertinent that I wanted to talk about was just as an example, there was an amendment to the WSC contract between a consulting company, which I assume is WSC, and the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group. So somehow we're involved with the contract between those two people, those two parties. My question is, if this is an amendment to a contract, it's amazingly insufficient because it's so general. I mean, there's no definition of terms. When it refers to WSC, it refers to two different entities, even though it calls it by the same thing. On the one hand, WSC is referred to as part of a contract, and on the other hand, it refers to WSC, the staff that's going to do the research and quantify, you know, how much water there is related to, what does it say? You know, when you get into the more specific, evaporation analysis, root zone analysis, analyze the root zone area to quantify water holding capacity for crops, you know, quantify the water that's going to be runoff, the estimated amount of water that's going to be runoff. It seems like they should be referencing, if not with footnotes, like which standards they're going to use. They talk about using the rational method for quantifying, a certain calculation here. Calculate the quantity of water lost through runoff. That's really important. Estimate the quantity of water entering the Northern Counties Management Area using precipitation data. Which standard of measurement are they going to use? I mean, what I want to see, as a member of the public, is I want to see the actual contract that we're amending. Was that part of the record? Is that listed on the website somewhere? I really miss the packets. I mean, these packets should be scanned in so we can go to the website.
Thank you, Giselle. Yeah.
You know, come cold turkey. So I need that question answered.
Is there any other public comment this evening, Jennifer? All right. Why don't we adjourn into a closed session? Item number 12, Commerce with Legal Counsel, Existing Litigation, paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9, one case, Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria et al., Santa Clara Superior Court, case number CV770214. It is 9:16 p.m., and we'll adjourn to closed session. Thank you, everybody.
It's like that.
That's how it is. All right. We'll call this meeting back to order. It's 10 o'clock straight up. We have just returned from closed session. We have no reportable action. But we're going to go back to the agenda and visit a couple of items. The first item was item 10A, the discussion, review, and potential approval to send a letter of support to NCSD, Supplemental Water Project, and other groundwater project. There was a draft. Again, that was a modified version of the letter that we sent a couple of years ago. And so bringing that back, following our presentation regarding the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District in closed session, does anybody have any comments, suggestions, motion to approve or not approve the letter of support? All right.
What do you guys think?
I drafted the letter. I'm not married. Like I said earlier, I'm not married to it. You know,
okay.
If the board wants to send it, that's fine. If the board wants to leave it alone and not do anything, that's fine as well.
I prefer that we not send it.
Okay. So yeah. I think there's no motion. Then the item dies. Yeah. Okay, moving on to item number B, discussion, review, and sign the WSC contract amendment to provide support services for the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group for fiscal year 2013-2014. And the contract amendment was provided in our staff report. I have a concern over what exactly is provided and what's different than what was in the original contract. My suggestion is that we direct legal counsel to write a letter to WSC to ask for clarification why we should be signing this. And I think there's a, because it's an additional, I think, what, $18,000?
Yes, it is.
To the OCSD, which is a significant portion of our budget, you know, to pay to an outside group rather than paying salaries or infrastructure improvements. So does anybody agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. Legal counsel, would you also ask them to submit a scope of work?
Actually, to kind of jump into things and keep things going. And, you know, it's neat working with everybody because mm-hmm. when push gets to shove, you know, we get it done. We get her done. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Director Angelo.
The only thing I really have to say is thank goodness we all work well together mm-hmm. and we're all hanging tight and we're going to take care of stuff and move forward.
Absolutely. Vice President Lucy?
Yeah, I think that the board has really showed exceptional strength and I enjoy working with everybody. And I'd also like to say that I really miss Director Wright and mm-hmm. We will get her folded back in mm-hmm. so she can physically attend in a comfortable way that's needed mm-hmm. because I really do miss her voice at the table.
The only thing I'll say is it's been a tough week and a half for us. The district is being made whole. The amounts in dispute are fully being brought back to the district. So. Received written communications and late received written communications. There are none. There was a mention, it went to the sanitation district. There was a letter from the state that was entitled an NOV, but it actually turned out to be a letter of support to the sanitation district to keep doing what you're doing, and that should be on the website for the sanitation district. Public comment, item number 17. Jennifer, anything you'd like to add? All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
It's 10:05. Have a good night.